And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but this is the first Sunday of the new year, and I'm ready. I've been spending a bunch of prayer time over the month of December just seeking the Lord, like, God, where do you want us to go? I mean, because God has a certain plan for every one of us as individuals and us together as a church. And you can't just go through life, you know, just kind of like a feather in the wind blowing you every which way that the wind blows. You got to see where God wants you to go and then go after that. Because there's a lot of different things you can do. I don't want to do good things anymore. I want to do God things. And I hope that's in your heart as well. So over the month of December, as I'm praying, God kept bringing me back to this and bringing me back to this and bringing me back to this over and over and over again. And I was reminded of that scripture in Hebrews where Paul says, you know, where he says, it wasn't in Hebrews, it was in Corinthians, I believe. He says, we want to take you on to greater things, but you know what? We got to stick with the basics. We got to stick with the basics. And when the most basic thing that brings us to a relationship with God is love. Oh, yeah, that's about as basic as you can get. Now, there's a lot of people out there who go, well, you know, I know God's love for me, and I know this and I know that. But we're going to go down, we're going to drill down a whole lot deeper than that. And I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm just going to go until God says that's good enough. Let's go somewhere else. But we got to get a hold of this because let's think about it. You know, out on the sign, it says oasis of what? Love. So everything, and you're going to begin to see the importance of this as I start bringing this out. What God's given to me, I'm just going to give it to you. And so we're going to see some good things together. So I don't know about you, but my number one thing for 2019, you can call it New Year's resolution if you want, is to live like Jesus, more and more like Jesus lived. Now some people say, well, yeah, you can't do that. You're not Jesus. But yet Jesus said the things that I do, you can do, and even greater things because I'm going to my Father. And 1 Peter says that he left us an example that we could follow in his steps. So you can't just dismiss yourself because I'm only human. No, God's invited us to walk with him in the greatest possible way. And I think it's just wisdom for us to start pursuing this because, you know, it's just human nature to focus on problems. It is. How are you doing today? Well, then people start telling you all their problems. And then they're doing a blessing to you when they tell you that because that helps you to help them. A lot of times people just get the walls go up, they go, I'm doing fine. And you can tell they're not doing fine. But you see, we got to shift from being problem-centered, problem-focused, into becoming more of a solution-minded individual. So for every problem, isn't there a solution? Hasn't God provided us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Well, it brings us right back to what I'm talking about. The very central thing is this love that God has for us. If you got your Bibles, open to Ephesians in chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, she'll put it up on the screen here in just a second, in verse 14. We talk a lot about the prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. Powerful, powerful prayer. God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we know the hope of our calling. And it goes on and talks about how, you know, how the resurrection power is on the inside of us and how he's given us authority over the enemy, that we are his body. Great prayer. Man, I love that one. I go over it all the time. Dad Hagin talked about how as a pastor, that, you know, he was having all these things that just seemed to be limitations, like he was held back. And he got the revelation of this particular prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed it every day, all the time. Next thing you know, God starts revealing stuff to him. It's just incredible. But I think this one in chapter 3 in Ephesians is equally powerful because they go together. You're not going to get the resurrection power. You're not going to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation until you get this part over here as well. So let's read from verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." Think about it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Get a hold of that. Just slow down right there. Just stop. Back up just a little bit. That you would be rooted and grounded in love. You got to have something that holds you in. I can remember back when my wife decided that she wanted to turn our backyard into a forest. So she got a hold of something, National Arbor Day or something like that, and she ordered in 20 trees. Bless her heart. She doesn't have to mow the lawn. So I guess to her, it's just, that would be great, you know? And I'm like, yes, dear. And I thought, well, she's just talking about it. It's not going to happen. And then we get this goofy little envelope, kind of one of them puffy ones, you know, that has the little protective bubbles in it, bubble wrap inside of it and all of that. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, gosh, she went through with it. And I'm looking at it because I'm getting the mail out of the mailbox, and it's got 24 trees in a little envelope, but say, yay by so. And I thought, I didn't know that at the time. I thought maybe this is a promotional thing. It's one of them fat envelopes, so okay, whatever. I went in the house and opened it up, and 24 toothpicks fell out of the doggone envelope. They look like toothpicks, like a little cocktail toothpick, a little longer than a little one, you know? And each one had one side of the stick. There was no leaves on it. There was no roots on it. It literally looked like a friggin' toothpick. But each one was color-coded. Had kind of like a water-based kind of a color paint thing on each one. A yellow one was going to be this kind of tree and all this other stuff. I'm reading these directions. My wife's going, yay, it's great. And I'm going, anyway, I got a guy brain, okay? So, God has got a sense of humor. That's why he causes opposites to get married together. Okay. So the cool thing was, is as I'm reading this, I'm going, okay, so this is this, and this is this. And then I'm thinking to myself, which end do you plant in the ground? Because you don't want the leaves coming out underground. It doesn't work where the roots are sticking up. It'd just be weird, wouldn't it? So as I'm reading through all this information on this sheet of paper, you know, the one end of the stick, the one end of the toothpick had the color on it, and by golly, that was the end that needed to go down in the ground. I mean, the whole thing, every one of them was about that tall. No leaves, no nothing, just what you saw. So I went out, and I did my best, and I dug all these 24 holes, and you didn't have to dig very deep because you only got a toothpick going in the ground about that far. That's it. Of course, you got to get the sod back away from it and all that stuff. So, and you got to do something or else you'll just forget as you're driving along and you just run the mower right over them. That's the end of that. Unfortunately, that's what happened to most of them. But it was so weird because you had to know which end to stick in the ground. And once I got that all figured out, okay, so we did this. And we had some trees that grew and some of them got a little ways and then they died or this or that or whatever. So she had 24 of them and I think we ended up with two of them that actually did something. But they were free, so I guess it wasn't too bad. So anyway, that you're rooted and grounded in love. So if you look at us kind of like if we were a tree, if we were gods, he speaks of the garden and we, you know, the seed time and all that stuff. So if you think of yourself, you know, as a human being, that you're like a tree, you got to be rooted in something. The only thing that God tells us to be rooted in is love. Rooted and grounded. In other words, everything that you're drawing nourishment from is coming from the fact that you are stuck, you are planted in the middle of God's love. And the more aware you are of that, the more you understand and get the revelation of what that love can do in your life, the more you depend on it, because everything from God comes by faith. Everything. But faith works by love too. So let's read on. You're rooted and you're grounded in love that you may be able. If you do that, this is what's going to happen. If you get rooted and grounded in love, here's the byproduct. Here's what comes out of that. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, that sounds a little weird to say. But if you dig a little deeper, that's why you don't speed read the Bible, okay? You find something and it makes you go, Go find out what that is all about. Because what he's talking about, to know this love that passes knowledge, it says it's to know this, go way beyond just knowing about this love, to tasting it for yourself. Experiencing this love for yourself. It's not enough that you heard how God helped Jeannie get her broken arm healed so that she can go back to bowling. That's great. We love that. But I want that too. I want to experience for myself How wide and how long and how high and how deep is God's love for me? Because there's times where we go through tests and trials. There's times where we just hit the wall. There's times where if anything can go wrong, it did go wrong, and it went wrong at the worst possible time. And what are you going to hang on to, man? You can just kind of go through the motions and trudge through this horrible situation that you're in, or you can remember that you're rooted and grounded in love, and you can expect, you can know, you can experience that love. That love will come to your rescue. That love will set you free. That love will bring you through with the greatest grace possible. I've been reading different things, you know, on the internet about how this one kid had a brain tumor. This one person had a brain tumor, and the doctor said it's all over, but they're crying. And yeah, they went back in before they were going to do surgery, and they gave her like a real small chance of her, you know, success. You'll probably die on the operating table, but we're going to do an x-ray before we go in to make sure. And it was gone. It was there. It had been proven to be there. All the other tests backed it up that it was there. It wasn't just that there was a smudge on the x-ray film. It was really there. And now it's really gone. Because people were praying. That love came in and just took that sucker right out of their head and never had to have a surgery. And the doctors are like, Shazam, we don't know what happened. That's knowing this love. Beyond just knowing about it, you're tasting it. You're seeing that you may, here goes, and that's not at all. There's more to it than that. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you maybe, if you're rooted and grounded in love, you can be filled with all the fullness of God Himself. God the Almighty, God the Creator of heaven and earth, God in every sense, you can be filled with Him. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in love. And you're drawn from that love. And it's causing you to be changed from this natural human life that's walking around into the supernatural God kind of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. He didn't just say life in the sense of how long you're going to live. He says the Zoe, that you may have Zoe, the God kind of life. That's not just only eternal, but it's a life that's full. It's a life that's complete. And that comes from being rooted and grounded in His love. Think about it. And that's not enough. God's not done yet. That you could, you'd know this love that passed all knowledge. You know, you could experience it and you could be filled with the fullness of God. But He goes on and He says, now to Him. Now to God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. What's the power that's working in us? What's the one thing He's talking about here? Love. How much of that love is operating on the inside of you? How much of your life, the life energy that you got is being drawn from His love, and how much of it is being drawn from the world around you? Because a lot of people do that. The world will feed you with life. But it's a temporary life. And it's a life with conditions. And it's a life that has good things and a whole lot of bad things. But that's not the way God's life is. The life that He wants us to have exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think according to the power of love that's working on the inside of us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, in the natural it's an amazing thing, but most of what a tree will get, most of what a plant will get comes from its root system. Oh, we got leaves out there, and it's catching the sun, and there's photosynthesis. There's a part of that. But my wife and I, for years, we did gardening until we finally got smart and realized, man, why would you want to pay $50 for a can of green beans? Because we were putting so much money into this stupid garden, and the deer would come in and clean it up. And then the rabbits would come in and clean it up. And then the worst part of it all was when the moles came in and ate the roots off the bottom of my tomato plants. I'd have to plant 20 tomato plants to get 6 that'd grow. And the rest of them died to the moles. It's like, what's wrong with this thing? I put the dust on it, the bugs are off of it. I got 10 feet high electric fence to keep the deer out of it. I got chicken wire going all the way around to keep the rabbits out of it. Dirty suckers that come in there, the moles that just come in there and eat the roots off of it, they just die. But yet God wants us to be rooted and grounded in His love. You know, there's nothing can get to you when you're rooted and grounded in love. And the deeper your roots go, the better. I was amazed when I learned this years and years ago. I was working for this guy when I was down in Texas that had a tree trimming service. And he told me one time, you know, a lot of pine trees down in that particular area of Texas. So we'd go in, we're cutting down pine trees. And he said this to me, and I checked it out. It was true. That a 50-foot high pine tree has a 50-foot deep taproot. So in other words, there's just as much tree under the ground that you don't see with all the little root systems that come out. But the main mother, the main honking taproot that gums, that starts, like in that little twig, that one where you put it with a painted end down, it'll start a main root that just goes down, a whole bunch of other ones come off of it. It'd be just as deep as the tree is tall. Gives that tree stability. Gives that tree the nourishment that it needs. I was reading about the redwood forest. When I was a little kid, we went out there on a vacation, you know, in the back of this Ford 500 Galaxy station wagon. We went all the way through the Mojave Desert, you know, and through Death Valley and came up. And one of the places we stopped was at the giant redwood forest, like to froze to death in a pop-up camper. Man, no sun comes into that forest. It's all at the top. But a 300-foot tall redwood tree will pump 500 gallons a day out of the ground through the root system. Takes it all the way to the top of the tree. 500 gallons per tree per day. That's a pretty good root system, don't you think? Whew. Amazing. But yet, when we can see ourselves like that, as we're rooted and grounded in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to develop that root system, there is no limit. When God said, through the New Testament, He said, all things are possible to him that believes. That means you can believe for the impossible. Because you're rooted and grounded in love, and you develop that root system, and the power and the love and the grace of God is flowing through you like 500 gallons a day through a redwood tree. You're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Think about it. And if you just break Christianity down into its most essential elements, love started it all. The Bible says God is love. So love decided one day, we're going to create a universe. So it did. And then that wasn't enough. And then love said, you know what? We're going to take this planet called Earth that when we kicked all the devil and one-third of the angels out of heaven and went down there and just trashed the place out. Oh, my gosh. God went back down in there, and He restored the Earth back to its original beauty. That wasn't enough. And love said, we're going to create a man. So we built this thing called Adam out of the dust of the ground, breathed into it. Adam becomes a living being. Why? Because love has to have a means of expression. And God's love needed to not only pour love out, but it needed to receive love back. And so that's why He created man in His own image and His own likeness. And then He created Eve because it wasn't good for man to be alone. I appreciate that. You know, every time I look at my wife, I go, thank you, God. That was a good idea. But here we come to Jesus. Because we broke everything. Adam and Eve, they broke everything. In our natural state, we are famous for destroying and tearing up good stuff with the best of intentions. But yet love came and restored everything back to us. For God so what? Loved the world. So love sent Jesus down. Jesus came to show us what the love of the Father is like. Jesus came to reestablish the dominance, the potential into every human being of what the love of God could do. It's the number one link that we have that God connects with us with, to us with. And it's the number one link that we connect with God with. That's why it's so doggone important when we have praise and worship on Sunday morning that you're pouring your love right back up to God. Don't just sit there quietly and look, going, I'll think the words. No, that doesn't work near as good. He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, get into His courts with praise. That works. Love has to have a means of expression. And so everything that we get in this life that is worth getting comes from love. Now, we're not talking about the human kind of love. We're talking specifically about one kind of love, and it's the love of God. Now, thank goodness we don't have to generate it on our own, because like I said, the number one gift, the number one skill, the number one talent we have is messing stuff up. Say amen or oh me, it's true either way. But yet the Bible tells us in Romans that the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts. The God kind of love is already on the inside of you if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. But now we got to start working at it. We got to start cooperating with this love. We got to start nurturing this love. We got to start building ourselves up in our most holy faith. So we get to choose whether we're going to draw from our old ways or grab onto the new ways of God. If you got your Bibles, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to go slow. I figure a minimum we're going to be into this is probably 2 months. It's such a huge subject. So we're just going to scratch the surface a little bit this morning. Is that okay? But I want you to see what we're really talking about, which is not natural human love. Natural human love walks down the altar, says, I will love you forever till death do us part. And then a short time later, it's like war has been declared. Love turns into hate overnight, the natural human love, okay? But not the God kind of love. You can count on this. Now, you can look at this in your Bible, and I know Cheryl's going to put it up here in just a second, but I'm going to read it from a couple different translations, starting with the Amplified. Back up one verse into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best gifts and graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far, the highest of them all, love. 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about all the gifts of the Spirit. But he says love tops them all. And he goes on and it says in the Amplified, if I can speak with the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. That's what faith is. It's totally the child of love, okay? I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose and understanding and all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, that's God's love in me, I gain nothing. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor and providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may have glory, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love endures long. This is the God kind of love. Human love will go, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. The old Popeye thing, you know? I've gone as far as I can go, and I'm out of here. But love, look what the God kind of love says. He says, but love endures long and is patient and kind. Not only is it enduring and patient, it's being kind while it's doing that. While you're driving him crazy, God still loves you, okay? He goes on and says, love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not fretful or resentful. It doesn't get offended. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice. Yeah, karma, baby. You hurt me. And when I see that you get hurt, I'm going to start laughing. No, it doesn't rejoice in injustice. and in righteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and it is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. And you read the first verse in 1 Corinthians 14, and he says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. So if there's anything in your life that's going to bring good things into it, it's the pursuit of this love. Even though it's already on the inside of me, I got something to do with how far and how great it grows. How much it has control over my life. How much I focus on that versus focusing it on the problems that are around me. Because when you are connected so deeply to the love of God, you're never at a loss. You're never at a loss. I told you about the thing with my wife and the Arbor Day deal. And that didn't turn out so good, but one time we were up to my dad's cabin. He's got 40 acres up in the UP. He's since gone home to be with the Lord, but we go up there usually the first full week in October, and my wife was into this big tree kick. She had to have trees. It's great until you have to mow around them. But anyway, so she tells my dad that, and we got a pickup truck with a cap on it, so with my dad's laughing help, we dug up I don't know how many trees in the UP and stuck them in the back of my truck and brought them back to Colwater. I think I had a dozen of them. I'm talking trees that are already growing. So anyway, we got them in the back of my truck. We come all the way home. First thing we get home, she goes, can we plant the trees? I go, tomorrow, baby, tomorrow. I just drove 400 miles. So we get the trees out, and out of all the trees, I got two of them that have grown. One didn't get too far because a neighbor came along and he built a 6-foot wooden privacy fence, and I happened to plant it right on the property line about this far away from that fence. And so it stunted the growth of the tree. But the one I planted on the back property line is 50 feet tall right now. Because the root system back there, for some reason, the grass really grows good on the last 30 feet of my back property line. For some reason, there's a vein of water that runs through there, I guess. I don't know. But that tree just took off. For a while there, I was decorating it with Christmas tree lights so my wife would like it. But I don't have a 50-foot ladder, so. But it's the same thing with us. If we will eagerly pursue, seek to acquire, make it our aim and our great quest, this love can take us places where nothing else can. Can I tell you a secret? It's just about effortless to get there. Because God, more than anything else, wants to reveal to you how long and how high and how deep and how wide is His love for you. And if you're seeking it, you're going to find it. And it'll change everything in your life. Absolutely everything. For the God side of the good. New Living Translation puts it out this way. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty, selfish or rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy, doesn't hold grudges, and will hardly ever notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Wow. Let me read you something out of the Message translation. I love having a lot of different Bibles. Because what you don't get in one, you're going to go, oh man, when you see it in the next one. 1 Corinthians 13 says it this way. Love never gives up, never cares more about others than for self. Love cares more for others than for self. Thank you. Messed that one up. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. I like the way the Message translation puts it. I've met people that they needed to butter up their ears to fit through the door. They had such a fat head. Anyway, doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Boy, that'll set a lot of you free, the Christians free, just for that. I'll never forget what he did to me. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And let me read you what the first verse in chapter 14 says. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. So how important is it for us to really get a hold of this? In fact, at the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is writing back to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he writes to the church in Ephesus that's doing everything. It's an awesome church. It's a huge mega church. It's the church where everybody goes, ooh and ah. And he says, but you left your first love. And he held it against them. Told them to repent or you're going to lose everything. Because without love, what do we got? We got a religious social club. Come on. Without love being in control of our lives, we're no different from everybody else. In fact, it's gotten to that point in most churches and in most Christians that the world says, I'm as good as you are. Why would I need to go to church? They're only after your money anyway. I'm as good as he is. Because love isn't the thing that's dominating your life. Love isn't the center of your life flow. And as a Christian, if that's the case, man, that's a bad place to be. Like you said here, you know, go after this life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Because it does. So we're going to look into this more. We're going to go a little bit deeper into this. You know, I'm just talking about the general stuff right now. You got to know what kind of love I'm talking about, because in the English, we just use love for a whole lot of stuff. Love my truck, love my dog, love pizza, love my motorcycle, love my wife. Oh, yeah, love God. But in the Greek, there's four words that deal with love. But there's only one that talks about the God kind of love, and that's the word agape. That's the only kind of love we're supposed to be addicted to. That's the only kind of love where we're supposed to draw our life from. That's the only kind of love that can change anything for good. That's the love that makes the difference. John 13 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, a new commandment I give you. By the way, it's the only one he gave us. Aren't you glad you didn't get the Big Ten? You know, the Ten Commandments that come down from the tablets of Mount Sinai. You mess these up, you're going to hell. You turn and burn. It's the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law of love. This is the new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's like the big qualifier. Because let me tell you, in the 12 disciples, they didn't get along very good. The 12 guys that were closest to Jesus, the ones that took this whole thing after Jesus died and rose again and caused it to go throughout the whole world, there was a lot of issues with these guys. Peter was all that in a bag of chips, and John's over here going, I'm the one that Jesus loves. Why there wasn't a fist fight in the upper room where the 120 gathered for 10 long days in a semi-subtropical area where nobody has deodorant is a total miracle. Because they didn't get along at all. But love changed it. Love changed all of it. Big Mouth Peter became the head of the church. Nobody liked Peter. He was always showing off. He was the one that said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And he gets out and he walks on the boat. And everybody goes, come on. Why they didn't get out and go after him, I don't know. But there was a lot of issues. There was a lot of rivalry. There was a lot of infighting. There was a lot of attitude. But love cured it all. And from 11 men, the whole world was turned right side up in just a few short generations. Oh my gosh, what would happen today if we got a hold of that? Let me ask you a good question. Is there any limits on God? Other than the ones he puts on himself? I can't lie, things like that. No. But why is that? Because he's love. But then you and I got that same love on the inside of us. And God is offering to us a challenge to be rooted and grounded in that love. To know this love that passes knowledge. Know it. Experience it for yourself. When Peter and John stood before the, in the temple gate, beautiful, and there's that crippled guy in Acts chapter 3. Day of Pentecost has come and gone. They're going up to pray. Just Peter and John. They're best friends now. They were like knuckle buddies, like the Three Stooges. But love got a hold of them, changed it all. And when they stood in front of that crippled guy who'd never walked a day in their life, they said, such as I have, give I thee. I'm going to give you what I got. And when he grabbed a hold of that man's hand, the love of God went through that handshake and brought that man into perfect health. Why did Jesus do all the things he did that caused healing? Casting out devils. Feeding everybody, thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. It was love. Bottom line, it was love. It was one thing, it's a four-letter word, it's love. It caused all that he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to take place. It caused everything to bring Christianity to you and me today through the book of Acts. All the epistles were about trying to describe and define and help you to understand what that love's all about. But it comes down to just one thing. Love. Will you tap into it? Will you go deep into it? Because you can't grow any higher than you're going down into that love. You can't. You can't. You will lose every bit of your carnal self. Your old ways, your old stinking thinking, the old poverty, the old problems. When you drill down deep enough to where that love starts moving through you like 500 gallons per day through a redwood tree. Holy smokes, can you imagine? I don't think the water pump in my house will pump out that much in 24 hours. It's just crazy. But that's a tree, and it's just flowing up it supernaturally. And that love will flow through us like you cannot possibly imagine. If you'll focus on it, if you'll spend a little time searching for it, understanding it, going into the Word of God, saying, God, show me what this love is. Let me just give you something quick and easy, because I don't want to keep you long. What I'm trying to do today is to tease you, so that you get a taste for it, so now you're going to go after it. I was cooking a brisket for the ministers back several years ago. We had a bunch of us Pentecostal ministers got together, and I decided I'm going to cook a brisket. I got a cooker that'll cook a brisket where you can just cut it with a fork. Oh, man. So I get it all cooked, and I'm bringing it in, and my buddy Jack comes over, and I said, Jack, come here and help me, because I got to cut it all up. 19-pound brisket. Ooh. Got the smoke ring bark on it. Man, I'll tell you what, it was awesome. So I'm cutting it, and he comes over. Of course, I grab him a piece of it, the little pieces that fall off, because you never trust a skinny cook, right? Never trust a skinny cook. So anyway, I take a bite of it, and I hand him one, and he's like, whoa, because the juices are still full in it and everything, He couldn't wait for us to get done cutting it and putting it out, because he got the taste of it. What you need to do is get a taste of this love. So what I'm going to ask you to do this week, starting today, why not? Start your habit today. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And every day this week, just read it aloud to yourself. You're just sitting there, you're reading your Bible. Read your Bible with your mouth open, by the way, it works better. Comes in through the eyeballs, rattles around through your melon, comes out your mouth, comes right back through your ears. It's great. They talk about recycling. Word of God, it sticks in there better, okay? I tell you what, I have prescribed this to married couples that are having terrible times in their marriage. Just read this out loud to each other. What's that going to do? Just try it. Because the more you meditate on the word, the more you speak the word out of your mouth, the more it begins to become a part of you. And when love becomes a part of you, you're unstoppable. When love becomes a part of you, there is no limits on your life. Just like there was no limits on Jesus' life. You will become a person of purpose, but you will have passion like you've never known before, and you'll have power that moves mountains. Because faith works by love. If you don't have the love, the faith doesn't work. It just doesn't. Because it's not about you anymore. It's about what he's done for you. And the number one pipeline, the number one highway that God delivers all of the promises in the word to you is love. So wouldn't you think it makes sense to kind of, instead of having a little walking path, kind of build that out to where you got a two-track? And after a while, make it wider and then pave that sucker? To where you got I was going across the bridge into Louisville, Kentucky, over the Ohio River. It's like 15 lanes one way going over this big honking bridge. I thought, wow. And then I started looking for the toll booth and there wasn't one. They just take your picture and mail you a bill, you know. But wouldn't you want to have a highway that wide for God's goodness to flow into your life? It's all about what you do with that love. Are you, first of all, I want you to tap into it. Because you can't give what you don't have. How many of you gave $10,000 in the offering today? What, you a bunch of bums? You didn't have it. You can't give what you don't have. But if God wants you to give the exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever possibly imagine, or think, ask, if he wants to go way beyond that, it's tied to your connection to his love. So do the simplest thing you can do. It's always about baby steps, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the whole enchilada, beginning to end. Just read it. I dare you. I double dog dare you. You want me to go all the way? I triple dog dare you. What's it going to cost you? Diddly squat. A little time. But if you'll do that, and then let me just tell you, the more you do that, the greater revelation you're going to get out of it. And it'll be like taking the bite of that perfectly done barbecue. I'm talking to guys. I'm getting close to lunch. I should have everybody's attention. When you take, I loved it, went down to Toledo with Janet down there in Maumee, and they had some big rib fest going on. All of these world-class national, champion rib cookers. I'm standing in the middle going, I'm in heaven. The problem is I can't eat like I used to eat, and I wanted to eat it all. I'll try one from every booth. There was just too many. But if you'll get a taste of it, you'll never be the same. Your Christianity will never be the same. You'll never read the Bible the same. You won't look at your wife or your husband the same. You won't look at God the same. You won't look at those crazy Walmartians out there at Walmart the same. Because that love is going to captivate you. And it's going to take you to a place that you thought was only reserved for the very special. And it isn't. Can you just do that? 1 Corinthians 13? That's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm not asking too much. Well, I took too long. Father, I just thank you today that you're taking us on a journey. A journey towards a thing that's most precious to you, Lord, so that it becomes the most precious thing to us. Everything about what you've done. from creation until today, has been all about love. And we've looked at it and we've taken it for granted and we've gone our own way. And we see a little bit of glimpses of success every now and then. But Lord, today, it's going to become the number one thing. Because without it, we don't have anything. Without it, we're just putting lipstick on a pig and asking somebody to kiss it. Lord, we're not going that way anymore. We want you. So show us, Lord, how to be rooted and grounded in this love. Show us how to make this our greatest quest so that we would never be the same because of love. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I don't think I preached half my message, but I got the part out that was important. Come back. Tell others what you have found. The cool thing is when love starts taking over in your life, people start coming to you. Because there's just something about you. They don't know what it is, but there's just something about you. And it's just love, which is the coolest, simplest, most powerful thing. And it's already been given to you. Amen? Amen. Tonight, Dream Team, don't forget, 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, you want to go deep, you want to get a hold of more, come Wednesday night.